Put them together, and what do you get? Bibbidi-bobbidi-boo.
Nice.
Ian, did you see the newest reasons to hate Disney?
No, I never have any reasons to hate Disney other than their park prices.
Yeah, well, okay, well, this is right on board for you. So they unleashed their new plan for, you know, skip the line package.
Right.
The new one is $400 for you to skip some of the lines. Not all of the lines, just some of them. $400 a person per day per park.
Ha. Huh. Yeah.
I was like, what the deuce?
Yeah. I mean, I'm never going back. I'm okay. Unless they, you know, reverse on any of these policies and we could get a DAS pass again, then I'll go back as many times as I can manage. But yeah, when I saw those lines that were, you know, not the fast pass lines, I was like, what's even the point of coming to the park?
Yep. What would you like to do today? I'd like to ride that one ride, please.
Yep.
The other 4 hours, I would like to stand here with a bunch of people that I don't know in the Florida heat and humidity. Sounds awesome.
Yep. I really want to get on that Millennium Falcon, so I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
2 hours and 42 minutes later.
I did not see who was in first. It was either Sluggo or Sartut. Samurai says it was Sartut. There you go.
Okay.
We are ready there, son.
Yeah.
Ray, you ready?
Oh, sure.
All right. Greetings, True Believers. Welcome to the 439th installment of the Puzzle Warriors 3. Ray's ready. Ian's ready. They're both awake. How are you?
I don't know if I'd go that far.
Oh, well.
I'm good.
Yeah, I am also awake.
All right. I'm wide awake. This is the week of the 16th through the 23rd of October. It's getting close to Halloween.
Very.
Mm-hmm.
The forgotten holiday, you know. You go straight from like July 4th to Thanksgiving in the stores. So
what? Stores are jammed up with spooky stuff and spooky stuff on my TV and candy. I'm seeing no shortage of Halloween this year.
Yeah. On the 7-day 4-star crash. This week you had Deathlok versus, I think it was a double shot of Fletus.
Yeah.
Did you easily Deathlok your way to victory?
I don't think I've tried yet.
Okay.
But I will. I'll throw some ISO at him.
They were not
champion worthy.
Yeah, they were not difficult. He put the beat down on Cletus.
Yeah, which one does is the calculations one? I don't know. It does a ton of damage in any case.
Yeah, one of them just murders Cletus, something fierce.
But did we hear about Echo? I didn't think you tried Echo. Did you get to try Echo?
I did try Echo. I championed her and went to work.
That makes it easy.
Yep. So I have similar plans with Deathlok.
Oh, you've got them fully covered, just not leveled up.
Correct.
Okay. Looks like you're in the same boat for next week, too.
Oh, man!
You have a bunch of levels in him, though. You got the next one at 188, because it is the 2099 Spider-Man
versus Vulture. The anniversary is going on, and most things are double ISO, so that'll have to help offset all this spending that I need to do.
Yeah, that'll help. He's going up against Vulture, though, so you just have to deny black and match your own colors, and you'll automatically do damage every round. Like, you match his colors, he creates some webs and does damage, so...
He bites you, right? He's the guy who bites?
He has a bite, yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. What's going on in Story World? Hey, that MPQ versus Zombies is running again. And we'll get next week. Simulator is also coming on. Gamora, Lady Octopus, some Nova Shards in there. Placement is Annihilus and some Phoenix Scott. And PvP World is In Between Seasons. Most Wanted is running Gitchy Rocket and or Groot, Purple Man, Quake, and some Ronin. Let's see, in the news, we got not one, we got two new characters.
What?
It's the 3-star, 5-star dance again this week. Well, I don't remember what the clue was. You remember what the clue was?
I don't remember.
In any case, the answer to said clue is Mephisto.
Oh, he's back.
Guess who's back?
Back again.
3-star is called the Dealmaker. Let's see what we got here. Black Power is called the Devil's Due. Choose a color or team up. The enemy team steals up to 2 AP of that color, taking 100 damage for each AP stolen. So I'm giving them AP for some damage? I'm not sure I really like that. Passive, at the end of each enemy turn for each color, including team-ups, in which the enemy team has more AP than your team, deal 22 damage to a random enemy. Alright, as you go up in level, at level 5 you are stealing slash giving away 5 AP, dealing at max 838 damage per AP stolen, and then that is dealing 210 if they've got more AP than you. Not sure I like giving away my AP.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of that power. Purple, changing the terms. 6 purple. Choose a color or team up. Convert up to 2 enemy AP in that color into other colors. If the enemy team then has 0 AP in that color, stun the enemy team for a turn. Ooh, team-wide stun. I like that. Whoa, at level 5, you're converting 6. So if you get to pick the color every time, then it seems like you should be able to get off a whole team-wide stun pretty often. For 6 purple?
Yeah, that's pretty
That seems real strong. Good. Yeah, that power seems real good. Alright. Blue, the fine print. Passive. Enemy abilities cost 1 more AP. Whenever an enemy fires an ability, they take some damage, ignoring projectiles. At level 5, it will go up to 2 more AP. The damage stops scaling at level 4. Alright, so it's got to be a 3-5-5, right? I mean,
yeah, can I...
I want that. I want that team.
Four-star Peggy Carter and make them unable to fire any abilities for less than 20.
Yeah. Can you add to those stack? Can you add them?
I don't know. I don't know how to play this game. I'm just here for color commentary.
Huh. All right. Well, I like 2 of the powers.
Yeah, that first one.
Not real keen on that first one.
Yeah, I don't know. Fueling up your enemies with AP seems like a dangerous game to play.
Samurai said the clue was read the contract.
The clue was it's Mephisto.
Yeah. Well, it was already on the calendar. What do you? Yeah.
Right.
I can dig it.
Can you dig it? All right. Let's look at the 5-star version. What's his subtitle? Oh, the Lord of Hell. He's not Diablo.
Or Asmodeus.
Yeah. All right. Black. 6 black. Deal damage to the target. Well, that's nice for Ian right there. Just deal damage.
5-star.
Passive, however.
I like Samurai's comment. 5-star calking confirmed.
Oh, boy, I wish. They made progress on that, by the way. There's a new thing has happened in the quest for the cow level in Diablo 4. They've unlocked another piece. Whatever another character would be healed, reduce that healing by 8.5% and permanently increase the damage of this ability by the amount reduced. As you're going up in level, you're reducing healing by 15%. So at 550, it's dealing 32 damage, but then going up by...
Well, 32,000 damage.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, 32,000. And then reducing the healing by 15%, which then increases on the 32,000. All right, well, that's interesting. I don't think we've ever had somebody get stronger because their opponent's healed. So that's kind of cool. All right. Purple, Mystic Deal, 6 purple. What does this do? Stun the target for 2 turns and reduce their maximum health by 3%. Then burst heal the enemies for health.
What?
Go get it, Craig. So you're burst healing the enemies to give yourself more damage from the other power.
Okay.
But reducing their maximum health. Passive, when an enemy is stunned, Mephisto's damage is permanent and cannot be mitigated in any way. Well, those seem to go together real nice.
Yeah.
That's wacky.
As it goes up in level, you're reducing their maximum health by 12.5%. Well, that adds up for 6.
Yeah.
For 6? Oh, man. All right. The first 2 powers are 5-star. I'm liking those. So that means this third power must be terrible, right? Let's see. Oh, well, it's already broken just from... You can't call something Hellfire and make the color be blue. Come on.
It sounds like it should be red or black, yeah.
Come on.
I'm sure there's some sort of the blue flame burns the hottest situation going on.
Yeah, but come on.
Well, yeah, okay, let me tell you this. In D&D, Mephistopheles rules the 8th level of hell, which is, you know, a layer of ice. It's completely
ice,
frozen,
yeah.
So blue. There you go.
Yeah, he's not really dealing with a whole lot of fire there, though. He's not really the fire guy.
He's not.
All right, any case, 6 blue.
Actually, wait. I take that back. He is. He created Hellfire in the D&D mythos.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't remember that. All right, well, there you go. Spread up to 2 Hellfire tiles, then create 2 Hellfire tiles. Passive, new tiles have a 5% chance to be a Hellfire tile. On battle, create a Hellfire tile.
What?
Whole lots of Hellfire going on. Okay. So every new tile that drops has a 5% chance of being Hellfire. You get one at the start, and then for 6 blue, you make 2 of them spread and create 2 new ones. At the end of Mephisto's turn, up to 2 Hellfire tiles spread to an adjacent basic tile. When a Hellfire tile spreads or is matched, Mephisto deals damage to a random enemy.
310. That's very little for a 5-star.
As you are going up in level, new tiles are having 20% chance of being a Hellfire tile, and you're creating 3 of them on the start, dealing 4618 at 550.
Wow.
But I guess it's kind of guaranteed automatic. It just kind of happens.
Yeah, it's just constant and trickling at that point.
Yeah.
It's like a 1,000 tiny cuts.
Yeah, it's a slow burn. But boy, I really like those first 2 powers. Seem much better. All right, 5-5-3 for me. Let's see what we got.
Blue Wolf's comment, every time you use him, you're required to say, what the hell is going on? Which reminds me, I'm going to have to censor that, because when you're talking about Hellfire, that's fine. But that was an expletive.
Well, that's on you, son. Goodness. You said it out loud.
I did.
Okay. Let's see, release events, Lost in Time, which will be starting, tomorrow, shards and event token and placement rewards, event token and progression rewards and alliance rewards, that'll be followed up the Fight for Your Right to Wakanda, running the 20th to the 24th, legendary token and placement rewards, shards and event token and progression, and then good old Deadpool versus MPQ is coming back on the 24th. Legendary token and placement rewards, shards and event tokens and progression. In versus, the first one's called Let's Shake on It, running the 17th to the 21st. Shards and placement, event token and progression there. And Eternal Damnation is the second one, running the 24th through the 28th. Event token and progression, event token and alliance. The Devil in a Suit Store is running, starting tomorrow, the 17th to the 21st. Chance to get Mephisto, the Lord of Hell. Increased chances in 10x and 40x pools. And then there is the Terms of Disservice Vault, running the 24th to the 27th. Chance to get Mephisto, Lord of Hell, in there as well. 40 item vault, 1 Devil in Details Legendary Store token, and an infamous Doctor Doom. The Devil in Details Legendary Store, running the 24th to the 27th. 15% chance to get Mephisto, Lord of Hell. 5-star Ghost Driver and 5-star Doctor Strange. Buy those for 25 CP each. So, there you go.
Right on.
Mephisto.
Yep. So, in the spirit of never having to create extra work for Rey, for me, from now on, 5-star Mephisto's blue ability will always be known as Heckfire.
Hey, and an update to the Zombie Slayer challenge that we talked about last week. It appears on the chart that the current points are at 102.3 million. 130 million is needed to get to tier 4.
So we've got tiers 1 through 3.
Yes.
All right.
So tier 3 was 10,000 ISO, 5,000 red ISO, a 4-star Infinity War Spider-Man green cover, and a 2-star Battle World map support. Level 4 is going to be 10,005 again. 4-star Blade red cover, 200 5-star Immortal Hulk shards, and a 3-star Taskmaster sword support. There you go. That's what I got for the news. What do you got going on?
I had it, but I lost it, dude. I'm sorry.
Oh.
That hurts. I'm sad. Nope, it's totally gone. Not even remnants of it. How about you?
I got nothing.
All right, cool.
All right, move it up. Footloose and Fancy Free. This week on It's Always Sunny in Xandar, Cosmo gets stranded in the woods.
Right, let's talk about Cosmo, space dog. Let's see what makes him go yellow, red, blue. TK field, 6 yellow AP. Creates 2 strength 29 protectiles. Then, if there are at least 6 friendly protectiles on the board, fortify up to 1 of them. Passive. Whenever an enemy team removes the fortification of a friendly protectile or destroys a friendly protectile, deal 136 damage to the enemy team. The first time Cosmo drops below 10% health, create 3 strength 13 protectiles. This scales up to strength 57 protectiles, needing a minimum of 5 tiles, fortifying 3, deals 1,055 damage, creates tiles the first time Cosmo's health reaches below 50%. No more Mr. Nice Dog. 7 red AP. Cosmo unleashes a powerful psychic blast, damaging the enemy for 171 damage, plus an additional 90 damage for every 20% of health his teammates are missing. That scales up to 2,178 damage, plus 306 bonus damage for each 10% health missing. Or is that just a flat rate damage? Do we no longer do percentages? And then it just jumps up? I better read that more carefully. Yeah, let's just say 306. Okay. Help from nowhere. 7 blue AP. Choose a tile color. Cosmo uses Nowhere's teleportation system to convert 5 basic tiles to charged tiles of that color. Passive, whenever an enemy matches or destroys a charged tile.
Whenever an enemy... Uh-oh.
Something's wrong. I'm better. Whenever an enemy matches or destroys a charged tile, whenever an enemy matches or destroys a charged tile? That might have just been typed twice. Whenever an enemy matches or destroys a charged tile, they lose 2 AP in the matched color, and their abilities are disabled until the end of the next turn.
I'm really concerned what happens if an enemy matches or destroys a charged tile.
I don't know why it goes twice. It's really weird. So that scales up to converting 9 tiles. That's a lot of tile conversion. What a weird gimmicky character. I love Cosmo. Yeah. I've never used him, but I love him. How do I make this guy work? Let's see. Nope. 355?
That's what I went with. Good job.
Yeah. No one likes protect tiles. Come on, guys.
However,
that's always the easy choice.
The internet says that you and I are vastly incorrect. This is the lowest used build. The most popular is 4, 4, 5.
Okay. I can accept that.
Craig's build of 5, 4, 4 is fourth in the list.
Nice.
I enjoyed the character. I know I played him a few times after. I think maybe it's a her, though. In the movie, I remember there being a female voice. And speaking of which, I also enjoyed Cosmo in the movie, in the Guardians of the Galaxy movie, which is odd for me because normally if children or pets are involved, I immediately, I'm out.
That's not for me. Yeah, I hear you.
But Cosmo was good. I enjoyed the character. I like what they did with her.
Nice.
Him, whatever.
Dog.
Yeah.
So, that is what Sunny and Xandar. It is Cosmo. Space dog.
Willie, did Cosmo attack the mailman, or is Willie okay?
I think Willie's okay.
All
right. So on the Marvel Puzzle Quest subreddit, nothing. On the 505 forums, nothing. However, I did get an email from one Parandiac. I know, email. People still use
email,
this.
Huh?
Yeah. Well, he wanted to share an image, So I think that's why.
Oh, great.
So the image, let me see if I can get the image here. I think that's it. He says, a couple years ago, my mother came down to Florida to see me and picked up some board games to play while she was down here. Moms are moms. I didn't fight it, but she picked up this monstrosity that turned out to be the best parts of each game into a really annoying mashup. The worst part, Target didn't have either game on the shelf, only the mashup, so we just had to make do. It is a game of life and trouble combined.
I want to play this game.
I don't.
From the description, I don't either.
I gotta say, I find Parandiac to be pretty trustworthy. He does not review things like this lightly, and it seems overwhelmingly negative. So,
I mean, does it give you both the satisfying pop of the die roller and the satisfying spin?
Right. How could anything be that complete?
That spin is never satisfying.
I don't know. I always like the I always like
the pop is incredibly satisfying.
I don't know. I read that spin's pretty satisfying. I don't think one precludes or diminishes the other. I think they're both pretty satisfying.
It has a 4.3 of 10. I don't know. That's clearly mid.
I mean, is there nothing else going on? Is it sitting there on the table? Has it already been purchased? Sure, I'll sit down with Craig and give it a try. Am I optimistic? No.
Was this like a Target exclusive or something?
Maybe. Doesn't say.
I've just never seen that. It just never seen that on a shelf. Huh. Do you like that Pop-O-Matic bubble?
Oh, it's a the die is a multiplier. Look at that.
Oh, I see that. There's like a 2x in there. Yeah.
I don't know how that works. That sounds bad.
Yeah, I feel like you do that for some function in the game of life.
I'm more upset if you look at that image. If you look at that yellow car on the left, the way that monster has put the people in the car.
Yeah, I don't love that at all. I don't even understand
you, it. You can't sit in a car like that. That is just not
so
right.
It's got 3-row seating, and we've got one person sitting directly behind the driver, and then the next person in the 3rd row opposite the driver.
Yeah, I don't look. That's just not cool. That's no bueno.
I don't know what's going on.
I don't know.
There,
I'm imagining
sure,
everybody gets a spread out. Looks comfy.
Well, no, then you would like then you would diagonal, like the middle row
right,
person.
You gotta stagger. You don't go right behind the driver. You go to the driver, let the driver get comfy. You sit passenger middle.
Yeah.
They sit driver rear.
That seating arrangement there, I just don't.
Yeah.
Nope.
It's just.
I tried.
Nope.
Yeah. But, I mean, I honestly, if I have to pick between the two, I will take that awkward sitting arrangement over 6 kids in the car.
Well,
holy smokes, that's a nightmare. Well, probably 5. I guess someone's got to drive.
It's true.
The only other thing he said was trouble is greater than life by a hair. Wow.
Okay. Remember what I said about Parentiac earlier? Not entirely accurate, it turns out.
So there you go. That's all we got. We got an email. Hey, thanks, Willie.
Nice.
All right, let's move into the board game bracket, which I think is... I'm hosting this week, I hear.
Darn tootin'.
All right. First, though, who won last week?
So last week, clearly, was the game of life versus trouble. I don't know if I'd call this a landslide, but it was a very, very sure victory. Life moving into the next level.
Hmm.
Nice. That's right.
Even with Baron DX's vote.
Very good. All right, this week. Yes?
Sorry, I was just going to... Sorry, I forgot we were doing the show and I was starting to talk to Samurai. I'll get back to that another time. You do the show.
All right. So this week, we've got classic war game Risk versus riding a train across the United States. Who's good? Ray, you going first?
Sure, yes.
All right, hit us with some Risk.
So the Risk, I have played a ton, and believe it or not, the most number of times I've played it, I played with no one but myself. I grew up... my brother's 10 years older than me. He was off at college. So I played a whole bunch of Risk just to see which color's going to win. It actually gave me a lot of strategy for, you know, where to start, what countries are best. But the idea behind it is a map of the world with 42 territories, 6 continents. You are dealt cards. You place one army in each territory that you got a card for. And then the player left of the dealer starts. You deploy your armies, you get so many armies that you can put out, you can initiate battle and fortify your territories at the end of your round. The idea is you capture the world. You take over all 42 territories, which takes, you know, a lifetime to do. It is one of the longest games ever created, I think. That's an exaggeration, but you have to move. In order to win a battle, you roll dice. You have to move at least as many armies as the number of dice you rolled in your previous battle into the country that you attacked. So if you have 4, you can attack with 3 armies and move 3 armies into there because you have to leave at least 1 army behind in the territory that you attacked from in order to maintain it. So to win the game, you have to take over all the territories. You can also win by completing your secret card mission and revealing your secret card in order to say
what?
I've never seen what? That in Risk.
What are you talking about?
That's what I'm reading, but that's apparently an add-on to Risk because the version I played didn't have any secret mission cards. You never.
Yeah, that's wild.
You know. No, you just collect your cards to make your sets and cash them in to get armies and go about your day.
But this says that there's a secret mission card, and if you complete that, then you can win.
Nice.
But I'm intrigued. I've never seen that.
Yep.
I don't like that
rule
at
all.
Do
to me as well, but I'm intrigued. So the way that you spent most of your time playing Risk, I will tell you, that is eventually how all
people end up playing Risk because that nightmare of a game is a friendship ender. I loathe Risk. Conceptually, magnificent. Can I play it by myself on a computer against some AI? Oh, that is a fun afternoon. Oh, Risk with other people? No, thank you. Absolutely the worst. Boo for Risk and boo for Ray.
Wow. Well, Ian, why don't you tell me what the joy it is then to ride across the country in a train?
So, not only this country, but really the country of your choosing, which is one of the many beautiful things of this everybody's favorite geography-based game, Ticket to Ride. Your game board is a map of, for simplicity, we will say the United States. And on the United States, they pick, I should have looked, but we'll say a dozen, maybe 15 geographical locations, specifically major cities across the United States and Canada that you must travel between to create. So you'll be given mission cards that say something along the lines of travel from Houston to New York City. And you will have to use your whatever public transportation representative tokens that you have in front of you to follow a path from Houston to New York to complete that ticket and score victory points towards your win. Yeah, that's really all there is to it. That and, trying to block your opponents from successfully completing their routes is also a subcomponent of that. And there are bonus points to be had if you can go from one end of the map to the other in one complete connected route. And right, I think that's most of the scoring. So yeah, Ticket to Ride is it's a good learning game and it's a fun strategy game.
I have
a couple versions just for variety. Nice.
I have played this game once. It was there were five of us. One of the five was a very aggressive 10-year-old boy who at the very start of the game was like, I am a master at this game. No one can defeat me. Who then proceeded to have a few strategies that I thought were a little crazy and far-fetched. But it turns out in the end, he beat everyone by a landslide of points. So
nice. Wait, was it us?
Yes.
Okay, I was like, wow, I can't believe you had that same experience. I play with my son and he does the same thing. He's like, hey, here's some crazy nonsense. And then he applies that and just smokes us.
Yeah.
Like, what is going on? What don't I understand about this game that Owen's strategy just wrecks mine?
I like it. I was more amused by the fact that Ian thought that Ray knew more than one 10-year-old boy.
I'm I wasn't all in.
Race interactions with children are fairly limited, so
lots of similarities. I don't know. Maybe it could have happened at some point in his life. Yeah, that's a true story about Ticket to Ride. So yeah, if that's your only experience with it, it might not be everybody's favorite game, but I promise you, it's an excellent game.
It's good. I enjoyed it.
All right, so there you go. There's your two games. Please vote for them. Hopefully soon, here in the Discord. Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge. Know what I mean? Know what I mean?
Right. So, yes, if you check out the Discord, you will see that Samurai has created two different reactions.
He hasn't yet, but he's on the way. Right.
One representing Risk and one representing Ticket to Ride. So by simply clicking on either one of those reactions, it will automatically tally your vote. So as soon as that's up in the Discord, please participate. If you do not have access to the Discord and are listening to this later in time, please send your vote to Ray via, apparently he's into email these days, but any of the ways that you can reach Willie, he'll get the message to Ray.
Very good. Let's move on.
Nice.
Once again, then, I'm Hans.
And I am Franz.
And we just want to pump.
We just want to pump.
You up.
You up. All right. This week, again, we are very deep in the anniversary, 11th. Anniversary to be specific. Probably double the amount of people are boosted. We'll just skip the pain of having to repeat all the details every week, and I will just tell you that in the three-star world, Angel, Beast, Black Panther, Captain Marvel, Daredevil, Deadpool, The Hood, Iron Fist, Loki, Magneto, Scarlet Witch, She-Hulk, Spider-Man, and Thor are all boosted. I didn't even love that. That was just me reading a list of names. That was boring. I'm sorry, everybody. I'm not going to do that for the next couple tiers.
Sleeves.
Lots of people are boosted.
Yeah. Now, who are the ones that
that was awful.
Who are the ones that are really important?
Let's see. Some highlights. I would say
Worthy Cap's still good.
What's that?
Worthy Cap's still good.
Yeah, Worthy Cap is still good. Professor X is still good. Four Star Carol is good. Four Star Scott is good. Recently reworked X-Force is good. I like croissants in X-23 and even Invisible Woman.
Bubbles.
Okay. Both the Immortal Hulk and Immortal She-Hulk are both boosted. That's going to be a mess. I don't know that any of these other people are... they're all good, but those two seem like the most important mentions in the five-star world.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I like Elektra, five-star.
Elektra Daredevil?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also like Banner, but not as good as the Immortal Hawks.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's some crazy boosted stuff. Keep enjoying the all the bonus ISO and rewards of the 11th anniversary. So listen to me now and believe me later. That's who's boosted. Thanks, as always, to Mystify.
Mystify. All right, Ian, hit us with some revamped pop-pop.
Semi-revamped pop-pop. What order are I doing it now? Do I do the pop first or do I do the pop first?
You do the pop first.
All right, beverages first.
No, it's the other way around. But
okay. Well, then, Craig, let me tell you about two new geniuses this week.
Oh?
Who, in an attempt to create the world's greatest product, created one of the world's greatest products by accident. I'm going to tell you about 1957, Alfred Fielding, Mark... I don't even remember how to pronounce Mark's name. Chavanis. Mark Chavanis. They were attempting to create, you guessed it, three-dimensional plastic wallpaper. And as you know, three-dimensional plastic wallpaper turned out to be a home fashion sensation, or it never happened, and they realized that if they just created a company called Sealed Air and marketed it as bubble wrap, that they would be world-changing billionaires. So bubble wrap was going to be three-dimensional plastic wallpaper. That idea was unfortunately so stupid.
Well, yeah, but we could fix it. Like, what if each bubble was like if one of them tasted like snozzberries?
Right.
It was lickable bubbles.
Yes, lickable 3D plastic wallpaper.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
Yes, that sounds a little more sanitary than the regular lickable wallpaper.
Lickable, or sorry, 3D wallpaper, huh?
Yep. So, it is not only one of the most environmentally non-friendly packing materials, also the most fun by a mile. But yeah, good old bubble wrap. It you can wrap people in it, smash them together. You can cover your floor in it, so if anybody tries to sneak up on you, they'll be caught.
I don't think that really works, but okay.
It worked once, I think.
Hey, let me tell you a story about apparently something that needed more bubble wrap this week. So we had shipped we have this air quality sensor that's mounted down on College Avenue that became defective. So we had to ship it back to the manufacturer for repair. They fix it and they say, okay, we're shipping it back to you. I say, great. They send me the shipping notice, the tracking number. I check the tracking number this week and it says in it, item has been irrevocably damaged and has been discarded. The sender will be contacted with info from UPS. So somehow, and like, this is like a pretty good sized box. Like, it's a big chunky thing that hangs up on a light pole that collects air quality. Somehow they destroyed it so thoroughly at UPS that they decided that they were just taking upon themselves to
throw it out,
discard it, and just tell the sender, yeah, we threw it away. What are you going to do?
Yeah. That's bold.
Like, what is that? So I emailed back the support people. I'm like, so what are you going to do about that? And they're like, we don't know what we're going to do about that. Okay, that's fair. I don't know what to do about that either.
That is why you always need to read the terms of service before you check that box.
Because I'm willing to bet that they did not, buy the insurance on the package. So, yeah.
Right. If we feel like it, we'll just chuck your stuff in the trash.
So apparently it needed much more bubble wrap than it had. Sorry.
No, that's okay. That was good. The only other thing I had was that the term bubble wrap has shifted and now become a generic trademark.
Oh, sure.
So while it is still technically owned by the Sealed Air Company, it is, you know, a term that is
it's Kleenex.
So...
Yeah.
Yes, again, yes, Kleenex, thermos, taser, linoleum, you know, any frisbee, all of those things that have become generic trademarks. Bubble wrap is amongst that upper echelon of standards. So they have redefined the packing industry by attempting to make three-dimensional plastic wallpaper that tastes like schnozberries. So, unlike bubble wrap, let me tell you about something else that is awesome. This was as awesome as last week's root beer was awful.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, Craig, if you can get your hands on a 1919, so good.
Oh, yeah, not familiar.
Oh, my gosh. First of all, they package it in a 16-ounce aluminum can, which I love.
This is one your mother-in-law brought you back?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, and it is... I don't know if I can pitch it. I don't know how you like your root beer, but this is extra sweet and extra creamy, and I loved it. Like, I'm looking very forward to finishing it when I get done with the show. It is... I mean, it's made with real cane sugar. The effervescence is just right. There's a nice, you know, when you pour it into the glass, it gives you just the right amount of foam on top. It was a real, real treat. I can't recommend enough that you should at least taste the 1919 root beer.
Yeah, if it stays away from the super medicine-y, you know.
Oh, way away. It's okay. Wonderful.
Very good. I will probably never find that in the wild, so.
No, but if you do... Hopefully I've made an impression. So yeah, bubble wrap and 1919 root beer. It's from the New Ulm Brewing and Beverage Company, not a sponsor.
All right, thanks then to Magnified.
Magnified.
All
right, Ian, you got Steam open.
I'm getting it back open.
Oh, jeez.
Sorry, I got wrapped up. I was just started daydreaming about that 1919. Hoping I remembered to put it in the fridge so that when I get out of here, I can go drink some. But yeah, I'm closer than I was. Let me bring it on down to Omeletteville and
bring it on down to Omeletteville. You want me to? Right, I'm gonna open like 10 of these things.
Hey, I got a Hellcat. It's Patsy, which I'm excited about because I feel like that is the 4-star that I have favorited at the moment.
Oh, nice.
This will speed that process right along.
I'm only doing one.
All right,
do it, Doug.
Because Kane is still in there. I got a 4-star. What is that? Lady Octopus.
No.
Nice.
Let's see what we get here. Oh, Reptil. Hulkbuster. Medusa. What is that? Moon Girl and Devil Dino. Scorpion. Star-Lord. Ghost. Man, so far no good. War Machine. Another Medusa. TV She-Hulk. There's a 5-star Kane Parker Future Sense. I think that was 11, maybe. So, there you go. Took the number 11. That makes my Kane Parker a 5-1-2.
Nice.
I want to thank
that. It's a long road to get there, but you got one.
Shout out to the OG, this guy.
This guy.
Ian, what's on the podcast networks?
The podcast network, which is known as the Soon to Be Named Network, and can be found at soontobenamednetwork.tumblr.com. We broadcast this alongside several other excellent podcasts, all to expand your listening options. If you want to find direct links to any of our shows, you can go to Soon to Be Named Network at soontobenamednetwork.tumblr.com.
Anything else for the Go to the Order this week?
You bet.
All right.
It came back to me.
All right.
So, this is mostly for you. I do apologize, Ray, but you'll be there a little bit. It's not football, so you won't be disgusted. I try to watch... seasonal things with my family when we have some free time together on the weekends. And my wife discovered on the Netflix there was an interactive WWE Undertaker movie. It was awesome.
An interactive Undertaker movie?
Yep.
How does this work?
So the premise, it's a choose-your-own-adventure novel.
Okay.
The show starts, and at certain points in the show, you choose either Route A or Route B, sometimes A, B, or C, and it, you know, shows you that particular you know, it shows you the next frame in the movie, and then you can go back and watch it a different way. Or so the premise is, are you familiar with the, I don't want to say tag team, they're a trio. They call themselves the New Day.
No.
Okay. Well, they're called the New Day. They're like Big E, Kofi Kingston, and Xavier Woods, I believe. Anyway, their plan is to break into the Undertaker's mansion and steal his urn so they can become superpowered.
Sure, and like you do.
He is trying to trap them in his mansion so he can perform a ritual to steal their souls.
Wow.
So you just make a variety of decisions with the characters on the screen, and you choose how you want to explore the mansion and the things you do or don't want to do. And it's wacky. They give you little, you know, there's little like Easter eggs. Paul Bearer shows up at times. There's a room you go into without too many spoilers, and there's like a corpse in there. They're like, who's that? They're like, check the tag. And the tag on his foot says Isaac Yankum. And I was like, ah.
So you're playing as the three, as the triple team.
You are playing as the New Day.
I've never heard of such a thing. That's crazy.
Yeah. You've never seen an interactive show? I guess you're not. I guess you're, what am I thinking? An adult. So yes. Sorry. I have seen many interactive things, but most of them are...
You know, back in the day when those things came out, they were on VHS when I was young, right? Right. And it would tell you to fast forward to marker 3307.
Yes.
You know, and you would fast forward.
Yep. Very much so. It's very much like that.
Terrible, like, football NFL game and stuff, right? And you would call a play, and it would tell you to fast forward to this part of the tape. And then,
yes. Yeah. Very much. Nope. This is a little better than that. I just... didn't realize how kid-oriented all the ones I've seen are, but now that I think about it, the only one that isn't purely for children was like, what's that show with Bear Grylls where he makes you do stuff in the woods? Running Wild?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yep, yep, it was a Running Wild choose-your-own-adventure. You reach a problem, and Bear said, do you want to do this, or do you want to do this? And then you choose.
I mean, I love those books. I mean, I have the majority of the original set from back in the day, so.
Well. Next time you're in the Netflix, go over to the search bar and type in interactive.
Hey.
There's probably 20 choices. There's some good Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
Ooh. Give it a try. Where in the world is
Carmen Sandiego?
Oh, good stuff.
Do it, rockapella.
Yeah. That game's got to be around somewhere on an emulator or something, right? I'd like to play that game again.
100%.
Yeah. It's a good game.
Everything's somewhere on an emulator.
Yeah, that's true. Ray, you got anything? We all done. Wrapping it up?
I think I fell asleep.
Okay.
Nice.
Thanks, everybody, for joining this week. Comments, suggestions, please shoot them at Ray. The mailbag is empty, and he feels lonely and sad. So.
And he hates Carmen Sandiego. You heard it here first.
No one hates Carmen Sandiego.
Ray has come out as staunchly anti-Carmen Sandiego.
It taught you geography. It taught you about countries, what their exports were, and imports, and jewel heists, and...
Yeah, it's issues had to get away with crimes.
Yeah.
Really everything that's important.
That game was great.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that it came with, like, a world almanac, right? And you had to use the world almanac to, like, play the... Ah, so good. Loved that game. I don't know what we're doing. Oh, you can go to our webpage and click on the Amazon banner, buy yourself something. Buy yourself a copy of Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego. Great game. Or head over to cafepress.com/puzzlewarriors3. But that's it. Goodbye for now. Remember, kids, we're getting the band back together. Good night, everybody.
Goodbye, friends.
Good night.